Yes, so we're back, keeping the ball on the ground. William Hill and Black Rooster Perry Perry. What an offer William Hill's got on just now. Join today, bet £10, get a £330 bet. Unbelievable. Absolutely class offer there for William Hill. Yes, I've got the two hunters back. Kevin Slaney, what's happening, young man?
Oh, honestly, si, I'm not well. No joke.
My head, what's up with you?
I've got a migraine, si. I think I'm the first human that's ever had a migraine for 4 months in a row. It's unbelievable. Honestly, Kevin.
You look tired.
But see, the thing is, I don't know what it is. In general, I'm had to speak to you about this today. I'm confused all the time. Now, I don't know what that is. I keep on typing and it says sort of brain fog. So I honestly don't know what it is. But I'm confused every single time I'm in a shower. I'm actually no word of a lie, you're forgetting that I'm putting shampoo in my hair and then putting it in there again. So honestly, I'm going to need to get it seen to, because si, if it's not going to get better, I'm going to certainly need to take a step back, because you can't come on this show, the best show in the land, and be forgetting stuff and mumbling. I need to be clear when I come on here.
Why, Kev, si, does it?
I do it every week. I do that every week. Yeah, obviously, does he talk about me though?
Oh, brilliant. Kev, by the way, you were spotted. My mate seen you steaming.
Shocking.
Shocking. Saturday night on High Street.
Kids looking up to you as well.
Okay. Wait, what was the script? And you were on BBC. He was, by the way, he's part of the BBC clique. He's
oh,
part of the ring.
What is that?
He was on it Friday night, mate. He's kept it quiet for the boys.
Oh,
I've never really. I just.
Wow.
You get him out.
I'm actually speechless. No, Saturday night.
Back to Friday, BBC.
Back to Friday with the BBC.
Friday,
what's happening?
They phoned me in a wee while.
Who phoned you? What names?
What names?
Is it Sunderland?
Big Dog.
Big Dog, right?
No, Big Dog.
I know, Big Dog.
I think it's Wee Dog. I think it's Tom McManus's dog.
BBC
anyway,
are disgusting.
He's, he asked me on to talk. I don't know, because it was the build up to Hearts Hibs and it was a kind of Hearts related, but I got absolute shock in my life when I turned up at the BBC and I had to sit with Yogi Hughes and Jim Duffy.
Wow. Oh, no, Yogi's the top man too, eh?
You know what, I haven't seen Big Yogi for years since he maybe was the manager of Falkirk, and Jim Duffy, who I've listened to many a time, I've never actually met the man, so it was nice to actually to shake his hand and talk football. And Big Yogi, they asked us about like your five guys you would bring to dinner, dead or alive.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking celebrities, birds. Big Yogi Hughes, every single one of them was a football player.
Yeah.
He's football daft,
oh,
me,
my
he?
Goodness.
So he thinks about his football, man.
He says, do you miss the football on a Saturday? I says, no. Really? I went, no, I hate it. He went, really? I said, do you miss it? Oh, honestly, it's terrible. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to cry.
He's desperate for a job.
He's desperate for a job.
But you were spotted Saturday night. Was it the cat house you went to? Somebody said you had nipple pierced.
No, I know I always tell why you have a job, but I didn't see you with black leather chaps. So.
Your arse cut it.
No, my mate Chris, he's 40, so...
what a man.
We went to, I don't even know the place, some bit in the Barrowlands, a beer garden. You ever been in there?
Bad.
Bad.
It's good, mate.
Very good.
Very good. I've been.
Aye, so sat there, had a few drinks, and then walked over to Maggie May's, and then probably when you saw your mate saw me, I staggered up the High Street.
Yeah, that's
trying
right.
to walk to Cumberland.
Mm-hmm. Said it reminded him your performances for Rangers.
Aye, probably. No, I think the walk up the High Street was better. Definitely.
What is it, mate? We're giving these places plugs, though, by the way. These places, if you're listening, we need free food. We need free drinks.
Can I just say something, Si? It's been the hardest week in my life.
Are you chucking it?
No, I mean, you know how much. I never thought I'd have got air at the Amsterdam thing. I always thought it would have always lived with me. But I got air at Si.
Yeah.
But something happened last week, and I don't believe I will ever get air at.
What is it?
Derek Ferguson comparing me to Jerry Britton. Jerry Brown.
What on the?
On it. On no
the,
joke.
On the worst.
Oh my God. Insult of all time.
Mate, I think it's time for Derek's family to put him in a home. I forgot to call it that.
I used to think Derek was the only man in Scottish football that talked sins. And see the mayor.
What was that? Sins.
Sins. Common sins. See the mayor. Heed him. He's lost the plot.
Since that day you took him in the fence, you've done him.
I know I put something in his drink, but I didn't think it's lasted that long.
Jerry Britton, goodness
oh
me.
Oh my God.
That is the worst insult of all time.
You had Milner with the playing career and Britton with the media career.
What? Jerry Britton?
No, I heard
the
him,
only good thing he's ever done is created a Halloween mask.
Oh, tremendous. By the way, we're not going to talk about the Celtic game, but I seen someone on Twitter. Did you see it? Celtic fans are wanting Ballingolly left back and Johnny Hayes left midfield, so they can say spaghetti Bolly Hayes. That's tremendous,
that.
Isn't it?
I see that actually.
How do people think of stuff like that?
Superb. We're not talking about the Celtic game, but did you see the referee? Sorry, the positioning of him? When's that?
Mate, how many times did you text me?
You said to me in the
phone. It wasn't. I've never seen a referee's performance. It wasn't bad as in his decisions. He just didn't know where to stand. He just kept getting the road to the ball. I don't know if it was Wee Willie in his ears saying, just keep standing in front of the ball. I don't know.
Right, we're going to talk about Hibs v Hearts. Obviously, Kev's a Hearts legend. Kev, before we start that, Anne Budge was criticised for that statement she made. You wanted to feed the frail. I'm now saying, do not judge the Budge. But what a big performance for Hearts, Kevin.
It was a big performance, obviously, but does it mask over what's really going on there at the club? I think
you
it probably
tell me,
does.
Mate.
I think it does, because I don't, let's be honest about it, as bad as Hearts have been, Hibs are absolutely honking.
Wow.
Eh?
Wow.
Oh, I just, I can understand why the fans are, like, wanting, the Hibs fans want Paul Seconbottom.
I've seen that.
Is that what you said? I mean, that's something.
That's brilliant.
Paul Seconbottom out of the club. The Hearts fans went Craig Levein at the club. So I just think that Hearts played a more experienced team. Obviously, the young kid, the 17-year-old, scored the winner.
He's a player, isn't he?
Ah, he's decent, isn't he? What is it worth producing? Oh, that was a bit too early,
isn't it? It's alright, just go, it's fine, isn't
no,
it?
No, I just think that Glenn Whelan played very, very well.
Good player.
Isn't he? But we said that in the last show. He's probably the first person we've talked about that's actually produced.
Yeah.
Because everybody we talk about ends up being a shocker or they end up whatever. But Glenn Whelan dictated the game. Christoph Behrer defended better. Mm. And big, itchy Piazzi up top. I did slaughter him, and I will continue to. But if he uses his attributes to his best ability, he will become a good
player,
number nine for Hearts. He just doesn't use.
Brilliant.
Whereas when Behrer, he did that, the ball down, he'd already grabbed the centre half to roll him to get the shot away. Mm. So it's just using his attributes to the best of his ability. And I think on Sunday, he did that, and they got the best out of him.
Yeah.
Glenn Whelan played well. Behrer played well. The goalie was a bit calamitous, we like to say that word, but Hibs were poor.
Mm.
So all in all, I don't think you can really take too much from it.
The standard in the first half was the ball's out for 3 weeks with concussion, man. Absolutely. That's Lenny, what did you think?
Aye, listen, we did speak about it, and we've been speaking a hell of a lot about Hibs and Hearts. But listen,
are you sick of talking about it?
It's just the wee mouse. The wee mouse is now squeaking right out of Easter Road. Now. I'm done with him. Listen, a mouse, as I said in the Coopman show, the mouse could never beat a man's side, and that proved that again. Do you know what? It's actually led to my point. Do you know Scottish football side? I read an article, right?
Yeah. You read an article,
right? I will. Aye. I had a discussion with somebody about an article. It all came because I was on Sky Sports News. I was watching Sky Sports News on Saturday night, flicking across the channels, and Aberdeen and Livingston side, there was no crowd, barely any fans. Do you know in Scotland there's no ticket under £20 to go and see the teams? Now, the guy that controls all this is Neil Doncaster's side. I want that man on the show because you know what he is to now? He's a robber. He's he's robbing people, Kev. Simple as that. Now, I've checked.
Wet like, bandit.
There's an article, Si, and I was reading about it, and this is a wee bit boring part of the show, Si, but I'm really interested in
You're
this.
Passionate about it, aren't you?
No. Can I get a ticket less than £20? No. Why would you pay that in Scottish football, Si?
I know.
Do you know what I mean? What are you getting for your money? Do you know what I mean? What is your seat you're sitting on as well? I mean, how bad is that? The people you're sitting beside are dirty. I remember... when I was sitting there, I believe my cruciate was done for the years I sat in the stand side with AB seats. Your knees ready to pop, you've no space at all for your knees. Now listen to this stat, right?
Go for it.
I love
how much research you've done on this.
I can't actually believe this. Peterhead, £50 you need to pay for a jersey.
I know.
Now see a kid, if they want a Rafe Rover strip, £55. For a Rafe Rover strip, you may as well go and give a bully, Si, £50 to bully your kid, because that's exactly what is going to happen. I can't believe these prices, Kev.
I would, I agree with you.
Can we speak about that? I know I'm always coming across as joking, and I really want this serious. No wonder we don't get fans in this country, yeah. Si. £20 or £25 to go and watch Livingston.
Should be a tenner, an adult, five, or a kid.
That's it, Si, or kids getting free. No wonder there's nobody getting in. It's honestly, nothing must change, and I believe Neil Doncaster said it's the best What is it you say?
Support, is it not the best supported league in the world, pro rata to population,
is it
to teams? But that's probably more down to the fact that we have only got 5 million fans, or 5 million people in Scotland. But then when you think Celtic and Rangers playing every other week with 55 and 63,000, that's over like 100,000. So in percentage terms,
that takes up a lot.
But that takes up a lot.
Your money? I honestly don't. What are you getting?
Mate, even like pies and sweets and all that, it was embarrassing. Well. Mate.
I was like,
even the low leagues. Like, see, is it somebody at Rafe? No, who is it? Is it Dumbarton of the height? I think it's like £18 for a ticket to go and watch Dumbarton. Dumbarton, give me a break, love.
By the way, I need to say the Tynecastle pitch as well. Terrible, now.
Tynecastle.
Yeah. You had the concerts on it for the festival.
Aye, but you've
not
seen it since.
Oh, is it better, is it?
Aye, the grass is grew.
All right, somebody told me that Craig Levein was dancing on it. These Balenciagas. right, on Higginbottom as well. I mean, Hibs fans are never protesting again. Has he got to go, Kev?
I think we never like to see managers lose their job, but how is it that he has went from coming into doing so well in the first part of his Hibs career at the end of last season to now he's an absolute shocker? What has changed? Is the question I would ask is, Neil Lennon got booted out of Hibs because players didn't like Neil Lennon. So player power won the race. Is that what's happening again? Is the players stopped playing for Paul Heckenbottom? Mm. Is the players no happy that Paul Heckenbottom's maybe making them do things that they think they shouldn't be doing? I don't know. There's something no quite right with that whole situation.
See, when I heard him talk last year, though, you thought, this guy knows what he's talking about. Aye. And now, see, when I hear him talk this year, you think, doesn't know if it's Pancake Tuesday or Sheffield Wednesday. Do you know what I mean? Like, but last year, I think it's easy. See, when you're coming in and a place is on a low, I think anyone can lift
it. Look at Solskjaer and Man United. Like, that's a perfect example.
It's when you've then got to bring your... The whole point of being a good manager for me is, can you go and identify players who are going to come and make your team better?
Well, that's the thing.
And he's not done that.
He's brought in players who he doesn't play.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't see how they make it so
350
hard.
350, they signed the boy striker for it, and he's coming on for 10, 15 minutes. But and even Camberry, though, like, Camberry's a talented guy, but he just doesn't do it enough.
Last year when Cam Berry was playing, he would score some right good goals and people would talk about him, but now you're like, oh, he's alright for 10 minutes here and there. It's no 10 minutes
he thinks
here
he's,
in the game.
He thinks he's better than what he is. See him strutting about as if he is something. You're absolutely nothing, son. You're working under Paul Heckenbottom, so just enjoy, relax, start running and working hard because you've got nothing else in your locker.
By the way, did you see who was on the Sky Sports panel?
The daddy.
Morning chaps.
I remember when we played for Scotland.
He was on it, the daddy was on it.
I think we beat two of the worst teams in international history, and Elvis came into the dressing room after the game. He went, well done, lads. That's two in a row. I'm like, hey God, man. We beat the dog and duck in the first game, and we beat the
Red Lion in the second.
two in a row.
He was saying that Paul Heckenbottom deserves time to bed in his new signings.
What a nonsense.
You think, Slaney?
But it has to be.
Do you know what? There's not. Listen, I always say it when a new man, you've got to give him time, but in that time, there's got to be signs of progress or improvement. You can see something. Do you know what? Aye, we get beat today, but there's some signs there that we can go and do something when it starts to click. There's no signs of Hibs doing anything. I don't know. He's got. The wee mouse has got to go. I am sick of talking about him. Sorry.
Kev, here's a wee prediction for you. Hearts have a good season now.
I think
good players, mate.
The sad thing about Hearts is they've actually got a really good squad. Like we talked about last week about players maybe not playing in a big environment and maybe struggling. Maybe Saturday was the environment that needed that. Right, we can play in a, like I just think one game sometimes can tip the scales in terms of what way that the season goes. Yeah. So this weekend, whoever it is they play, who I'm unsure of, they've got to go and replicate a performance and get a result. They kind of beat Hibs and then go back to where they were 2 weeks before with Motherwell.
Yeah.
So, like you say, when they signed Glenn Whelan, like me as a footballer, and I don't know Glenn Whelan personally, but I think I've played against him a few times somewhere along the line. My friend Stephen Elliott's very good friends with him. He's a cracking footballer. Yeah. You thought, geez, what a signing that is. Regardless of what age he is, he's got that footballing brain. You're thinking, God, that's a right good signing, but... And you've seen on Sunday, he is a good player, and I think he will help drag Hearts out of the mire that they're in. And Craig Levein, he's going to get a stay execution ultimately because he's beating his rivals. But it's just they've got to now go and kick on. Yeah. Fans, you've got to get behind him.
Fans get behind him, that's it, definitely. Right, Slaney, wee boy Hickey, you like him?
Wee left back?
Left Celtic at 15.
Another left back, left
another
Celtic.
Another left back. Because
it's unbelievable. But I can't believe he's left another one. I didn't know that he left Celtic because that was obviously Andy Robertson left, and I think KT was. I think he could have left. I think at one stage he could have left Si.
Right.
I don't think he was in the favourite when he was younger. So obviously somebody at Celtic can't even notice a left back. I've not seen a lot of the wee boy Hickey, but was that the boy playing the cup final?
Yeah, that's
it. Came in. I think as again we produced another left back. But listen, I think the wee boy will come on. But I think we just need to relax because we came on with the boy. Was it Cochrane? And now he's in loan, is it? So I think we just piped in a wee bit with that boy, and we'll see how it goes.
Right, enough of that game. Never talked about Hibs and
Hearts. Can I just say, sorry, sorry,
yes, you can say what you like.
I said to Derek, and he just did not understand my question, what I was meaning.
You're going to start asking questions again?
No, I said,
was that like the question last week?
Oh, it was the worst question. All right, go.
No, I said to Derek, I said, where have Hibs and Hearts went to? And he went, no, they're still there. I wasn't meaning, I know they're still there, Derek. I know that. I'm meaning, when I was growing up, see this as well, right? When I was growing up, you had Motherwell come to Celtic Park, right, when I came to watch them. They had Pearson, McFadden, players that could hurt you. I mean, do you know what? We need to keep them quiet. Hearts, even like guys like Hartley and Scatjo and whatever. And you go into the other teams, right? Dunfermline, Brewster and Crawford. Do you know what I mean? They two were outstanding.
Brewster and Crawford?
Do you remember the two?
Is that a pub chain? Is that a pub chain?
What I do. I can still remember him. He used to wear a wee Sambas Crawford member and he had fix in his eyebrows. Was that Brewster?
Anyway,
Jim Lane. That's the right guy. Goalie striker. But my point is, Kev, what's happened to these players? They've got nothing about them. So I'm sick of coming to watch it. And I sell it our favourites and Rangers are favourites when they are at home. But you still expect the players to have a wee bit about them. Si. They've got nothing. I don't know one player in this league outside the over him that you say, do you know what? He's got a bit about them. And
wow.
I'm not saying that there'll be decent players there and good players when they play, but I'm saying when you were growing up, there was players in these teams.
And
when you went to Easter Road, or when you went to Tynecastle, it were hard games. No, they're not.
So why do you think that is?
I don't know why it is. I think what Slaney's trying to say is that there would always be players in the other teams that you would say,
I'd take them
in my team. Yeah. Whereas in Scottish football, I mean, we don't have, there isn't too many other players in the other teams that are, you would say they could slot in a Rangers team or they could slot into a Celtic team.
Why
is that? Are we signing too many players from down south in the lower leagues and the young Scottish players can't get a game? I don't know what it is, because it's not as if we're bringing in loads of foreigners these teams, you know, because likes of Livingston, Motherwell, Hibs, Hearts, they don't tend to bring in lots of foreigners. They try and bring in British tried and tested players. So like, and I'm not
having a go at the players. Listen, I've said before, they play in any league at any level, it is tough, right? And that's been said, but what is going on with this, the total change in this league? There isn't. I honestly, I said to Derek, I thought Derek would have answered me, and his answer was, they're still there. Derek, they're not still there.
Is that hence the reason why us as a national team are more so struggling, because our Scottish younger players, like,
to be fair,
some of them are getting picked because we don't have anybody else.
Yeah.
I think
quite a lot of them are going down south now.
Aye.
You're like, see, Kenny McLean, your John, they'd have been the players that you'd looked in other teams and thought would take them ahead.
So the really, really good ones that we're talking about are getting better moves south rather than a move to the old firm or what have you.
Well, you look at McKenna in Aberdeen, you would take him. For Aberdeen, for Celtic and Rangers, you would take Scott.
I'm
McKenna.
Just meaning the full feeling I got at one of these stadiums. Like, I mean,
actually thinking they could beat Celtic and Rangers.
Tynecastle this weekend, that used to be horrendous. Now you don't think like that.
No, anyway, I would agree with you.
Still going on about Hearts.
Right, another crisis, Man United, Slaney. I know you're passionate, you support them. Phil Jones, who is known to women as a 10-pinter, was caught on camera supposedly saying sacked in the morning, which led to Ed Woodward telling him to shut up. Just sum it up.
See
how
the
bad it is at Man United.
See the freedom.
Who's the three?
Jones, Woodward, and Solskjaer. The freedom should go. Jones should be out of that club, because do you know who I actually want to have a big say on here? Gary Neville. Gary Neville's a great pundit, right? And he's got a big say. But see, last season he was saying Man United must offer Solskjaer the job. Why? He was in Norway. He failed with Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
Si. How can you possibly walk into the Man United job, being in Norway and failing at Cardiff? I can't believe that man's in a job. And certainly, Phil Jones, he should have been ran out of that stadium, side.
I can't believe that Phil Jones has got the cheek to mutter that after getting a new 5-year deal last year from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
How do guys let him get new deals? They shine, you get a new deal.
Him and Chris Smalling, he hardly kicked a ball and they got new deals. And it's not just a new deal where there's an extra few hundred quid a week. They went to like 100-odd grand a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's, something's not right, man.
By the way, talking of that, stuff like that happening in the dressing room all the time, players slagging managers when you're in the stand, stuff like that.
I used to do it, honestly, it was brilliant.
I
know where they lie, right? It was amazing. Every time I had a meeting with a manager, right, after the meeting, it was brilliant. Me and the manager would talk and stuff, and I'd be like, brilliant, I really love here and all that. And then, see, when I went out, I used to go into the changing room, and I used to say, the manager was slaughtering all yous. The manager was slaughtering all the boys.
Wait, I need to tell you this. We had a wee guy, his name was Lewis. He was at Peterhead, I think it was last year or 2 years ago or something. Absolute moon man, right? 17 he was. So the gaffer says to me, I'm going to send a wee boy Lewis out on loan. I was like, all right, good, that's what he needs. So a week into his loan, he phones the gaffer and says, you're going to need to get me back for this loan. This manager that I'm playing for, he's not playing to my strengths. 17, mate, fucking hopeless he is. Want to come back because the manager's not playing to his strengths. So anyway, we bring him back, right? We're playing one day, and I'm playing, so I didn't know. That was on a Saturday. So the Tuesday we've got a game. It's a night game up at Peterhead. So we're all sitting on the bus, and one of the boys who was on the bench on the Saturday goes, what about that wee fucking arsehole Lewis? Absolutely slaughtering the gaffer and Davy on the side of the pitch for no playing him. Mate, this boy's hopeless, right? So he's wanting to come back for loan. He's now slaughtering the gaffer during their game because he's not playing him. So Davy, assistant manager's on the bus, and he catches wind of the story. He says, what's that? And somebody says, oh, the wee boy Lewis was slaughtering you and the gaffer for no playing him. He says, oh, is that right, is it? So we've got a group chat that Davey's in with the boys, assistant manager. So we're on our way up to Peterhead for the Tuesday night game, and Davey texts in the group saying, all right, Lewis, make sure you prepare properly today, pal. That's all I'm saying. Wink face. And so the wee boy Lewis writes back like thumbs up, mate.
No.
So we get up to Peterhead for a quarter to eight kickoff. We get there at 6:30, mate, walk in the dressing room, sitting there with his full strip on, ready to play, boots, everything, mate, at 6:30.
Right. Oh my god.
Jim names a teammate, he's not even on the bench. Never forget seeing him, mate, taking his gear off and putting his tracky back on.
I take it he's no longer in the game.
Nah, he's not there anymore, mate. What a boy, thought, unbelievable. Kevin, any examples of slaughtering the manager? Used to slaughter the manager when you're playing?
I think everybody does. There was some managers where you understood why you were on the plane. There was some, like, I was at Coventry with Mickey Adams, the manager, who I really liked. Then we had Ian Dowie, who I thought was brilliant.
Good luck,
and then
guys.
Chris Cole, best looking. And then Chris Cole. then Chris Coleman came in. And I've never wanted a guy to get sacked as much as that guy.
Oh, really?
I just could not.
Wee Aidan hated him as well. He didn't
play me. It wasn't his fault. I think he was told not to play me for whatever reasons. And
because you kept falling over the ball.
No, I don't even know. I don't know why.
Come on, tell us.
Because I called the Coventry fans this a word that begins with runt.
Oh yeah.
Runts and. That was it. That was my Coventry career. But it just, for me, just like kept saying in the press, oh, we're needing a big man up front, we're needing a bit of. And yet, I was sitting there and I thought, but Chris Coleman, that. And then when he got the job for Sunderland, that broke my heart because I thought, there's no way he's keeping that team up.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, they got relegated and that was the end of Chris Coleman.
Well, I say as well, mate, Sunderland fans want Jack Ross out as well. Eh?
I've seen that.
Uh-huh. Wow. I keep very close tabs of what's going on down there. And. I would agree because that club is a huge sleeping giant that can't weather down drawing with Bolton.
No. They've just got 12 new players ahead.
Aye, they've got minus 13 points or something. They've not won a game. I think they've drew two or one game and they draw with Sunderland. So if you want to get promoted, you can't be drawing to teams like Bolton.
Mm.
And then did they not draw with like Rotherham or something through the week or whatever? Whatever it was. And I just think that, like, Maybe he had his chance last year in the playoffs. Maybe this year it might not quite. Don't get me wrong, they're still sitting, 3 points off top of the league, whatever, with a game in hand. So they're in with the mix. But ultimately, for me, ultimately, I need to fucking ditch that word. Give me a new word.
You want to get rid of him?
Well, I don't want to get rid of him, but I just think he needs to get his finger out and start getting results every week.
Wow. What you said, mate?
No, see, when I was at Motherwell, this is a funny story, right? But I'm going to say it was a manager came in, Jim Gannon.
Uh-huh.
Honestly.
But he's a screwball, you know, chuck people off the bus or not?
Nutcase, uh-huh. Absolutely not. All he does is speak about himself, and he first day came in, it was Mark McGee. Mark McGee had just got Motherwell into Europe. And he came in and went, his first time was, he said, was, "You're all shite." He was like, "You're all shite. Come here and watch my Stockport team in the playoffs."
I remember his Stockport team. Actually did pop
that was his actual team talk. And do you know before the Europa League qualifiers? So he was like, "Come on in for like analysis to watch." He actually showed Stockport in the playoffs. This is how we need to play. So anyway, the boys, we couldn't handle him and stuff. I loved him because he gave me a chance, but the rest of the boys, he was hopeless, to be fair. He just spoke about himself all the time. But I always remember it. He used to run him for training. We at Dale Park in Motherwell. So the boys used to get the minibus for Dale back to Fir Park. But one of the days he ran him, he was running him, the minibus was driving by him. And about four or five boys got bottles of water.
Soaked him on his trench. It was absolutely drenched.
So that, and then that day when he came back, he was looking to see who it was that done it. But the boys who had done it were up in the boardroom getting sacked. That was it. I say
he won't want to name names now.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't have thrown him under the bus. But the big pack of players went up and said, "It's time for the Ganso to leave." He was out his depth. He was absolutely hopeless.
We don't team side where when you're in a dressing room, you know when the manager's gone. Like you know that
he's
fucking lost the plot, and then everybody starts whispering, and it's a case where just the senior players go to the upstairs and say, "Look, fucking Gaffer's gone," and it's when they start. Like, I remember Hammer Wilkinson, he put up the last 10 games of the season up, right, and ticked off who he thought we could beat. So every fucking Monday, it was the tick that turned into a cross.
I mean, we done that at Swindon as well.
Of course, I'm thinking, you know you've gone when you're trying to go 10 weeks in advance, when you've just got to think about Saturday.
Jim Gannon used to, no joke, used to actually have the majority of the first team players with the reserve team and the young boys training the first team. How bad is that?
See that, speaking in behind people's backs and getting caught, that's why I got paid up for Dundee, I'm sure, man, right? So I had a good pre-season with Dundee, my second pre-season. First year I was hopeless, and then I expected to play the first game, we were away to Killie, and we hardly put us on the bench. I was fucking fuming. I think we won 3-0, Greg Stewart was unreal. I came on for the last 5 minutes, so you got the £600 win bonus. Me and Kevin McBride had the thing where...
Oh, you said you're halfers.
Whoever was starting had to come off so that the other one would get their £600 anyway. So on the bus after the game, I was fuming, man, and I knew that they were standing right behind me. So I walked on the bus and goes, "Oh well, another fucking £600 I've robbed off this club Monday morning, mate. Offer of a pay up on you, go, son." Anyone else ever been caught?
Nah, I try to think back to things like when players fought with the manager. I think like Michael Bridges, and remember Alan Johnson, the manager of...
Who's Queen of the South?
He was desperate to get a move to Rangers, and basically there was all the talk in the paper, so Peter Reid just said, "Right, okay, that's fine, you're not involved in the first team. We are playing Aston Villa away on a Tuesday night." Just sticks him on the bus, him and Bridgie. Didn't even get on the bench, weren't even stripped.
Just sat
on the bus, down to Birmingham and back up in the same night, just to piss him off. And I thought, and then they said, "You're trying to come in and train at 9 o'clock, you're training at 3 o'clock. And obviously, they two guys have been in the dressing room talking about the gaffer. And you should think, fucking hell, imagine Peter Reid heard what they were saying about him. But you always hear that feeling in a dressing room that there's always a rat in there.
There
has to be.
There has to be,
because... You know yourself, Si, you've been there and you really don't stay anywhere. The manager always finds out, and you think, how the fuck did he find out about that?
I swear, at Swindon, mate, we were convinced that the Canu had the dressing room bugged. I'm telling you, mate, like, we would pure need to go to the toilet to slaughter him, mate. Because, see, anything you said about him, mate, you'd be walking to the train and go, "What the fuck do you say about me in the dressing room?" I'm like, "What?"
I think sometimes they'll ask that question and they know they're going to put you in the spot, even though they know nothing.
They'll just tell by your facial expression they just know, if it's right or not.
What did you say about me? But then again, you get some managers who are like pure joking and banter. Like Mickey Adams, when we used to play for Coventry away, seen away game, the young team would get off the bus, and they'd go into the reception to find out, you know, you go to the reception and you find your room key to see what room you are, they'd say, "Mickey Adams." So the young team used to get his key, then they go
the
to
manager's
his, the manager's key used to go to his room first and do a big shite in his toilet, and then put the breadcrumbs in his pillows and all that. Then they'd come back down and say, "Yeah, you've given me another one key," and then the gaffer, because he'd be last half the bus, still on the phone, sitting in reception, and then he'd come down to breakfast next morning, like, "Aye, what one of you's cousin this week?"
Was he joking?
Mickey Adams was a great guy, honestly, but every away game, if it, and one of the best ones, they went to their bed one night, right? So everybody's Gaffer's in his room as well. So they come out of their bedroom, right? Went outside and started tapping on his windy. Because they were just a young, used to take two young boys to.
I love that for the young
lads. Carrying the skips and stuff. Uh-huh. Get experience being with the first team. But us first team used to tell them, if you go and just. With the gaffer, we've all whipped in 50 quid each. Go and keep tapping his windy. And he kept fucking tapping the windy. He kept
that
getting up.
See, managers are paranoid, man. I think they always think
you
players are talking about it, aren't they?
You would need to be paranoid.
Do you think?
Because, like,
I think a lot of that's like, it's not just. Turns
players
away for them.
It's not just paranoia from your players. It's paranoia with the whole. Everybody thinks of you, the fans, to whatever, because. You're that one guy that everybody's relying on.
Mm.
So that's why we'll stick to just talking
about. What about Barry Ferguson? Would he care about boys speaking about him?
Oh fuck.
Would he, huh?
Honestly, that, I mean, some of the rants he used to go on. He actually, I'm sure, with one of the games, he just had locked 11 players in the dressing room and then told the rest of the subs to get out. And he said to the boys in the dressing room, he went, "You're my only team." He said, "The rest." And I was the guy outside the door, wasn't I?
Ah, oh, brilliant. Right, another top manager for me, wee Burnley rate for Abseen Nesbitt, Ian McCall, got the Partick Thistle job. He surprised, he's took it, kept Ayr second in the league, at second, and Thistle bottom.
I think.
Couldn't believe he took it, surprised. To be honest.
Must be money, it's the only thing can be.
It'll
I'm
be
still surprised.
It'll be money, but ultimately, that's that shitey other game.
No,
I think he.
Potentially,
he's took Ayr as far as he can take them.
Wow. Do you think?
Well, Ayr's one of these teams that they've managed to get promoted and they've stayed in the championship for the last few seasons and they've started off like a house on fire. But because of the size of squad, when injuries occur, Ayr then tail off at the end of the season.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's where they then struggle to make the playoffs and then they find it tough. So, does he realistically think, if he was to get Ayr into the Premiership, that would be manager of the year stuff, that would be incredible, but I don't think it'll ever happen. So he maybe sees Partick Thistle, because financially with new owners or takeover happening, potentially they could be that team, maybe not this season because they would need to go on a right run of games and a confidence builder, the whole shebang. I think it's too late, but potentially next season, could Ian McCall take Partick Thistle back to the Premier League? Why not?
Well, here's one for you, here's my tip for the season. Partick Thistle finishing the playoffs to go up this year.
I think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Because obviously the team that's sitting fourth now, Partick Thistle aren't really that meant. They're only a few wins away. A bit like Craig Levein, they're only six points off fourth. But I think Ian McCall is originally was he the Partick Thistle manager before?
Yeah, he's been the Partick Thistle manager.
He lives in the area because he's seen what not doing.
Oh, we'll see him in the West End.
He's always head to toe in the area. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even a Sunday and a day off, he's head to toe in
the bookies.
In the bookies.
No, what a man.
But you know, my brother-in-law plays with you and he's very, very sad to see him go.
I think he's done amazing at
I think he's been the unsung kind of manager of Scottish football for the last lot of years, because nobody really talks about
him. That's what I was going to ask you. Could he have got a Premiership job? Why could he not go
that's
and get a Hearts?
I asked that question Friday. Why has somebody never took a chance on Ian McCall?
He's done the right manager in the Premier League. He's done well with him.
Aye, so I don't know. But he disappeared from the game for a few years.
He had a few personal problems.
But he's come back, and I just always think he speaks well. He's got a bit of character, and he seems to have that aura about him where players want to do well for him. And I think when you've got that, it makes a huge difference.
Right, I'm sitting with two ex-Ayr legends. Tipped for the job. Favourite?
Matt Roberts.
Well, we'll bring him back.
Get him done. And by the end of the year, they will be relegated.
Who would you like to see, Slaney, for your old team?
For United, I would like to see who deserves to get that job. Candidates? Don't have a clue, Si, but I'm trying to think here.
Sandy Stewart's a favourite, eh?
Does that work, assistant? Well, I want to ask you about this as well. Alan Archibald went back as an assistant. Not for me, that.
Not for me, an embarrassment.
I just, like, understandably, he needs to have, he's looking for a job, needs a job.
Does he want his old job back?
An opportunity's come back in where he's got a job. But I just think that's incredible that they deemed him not good enough. So they sacked him, and then he's come in as a number two. So basically, if that were me, being the manager before, Are you going to have too much of a say?
No, the only thing can I just
interrupt you there? We've actually got the chief executive of Partick Thistle in, Miss Jerry Britton. So, Jerry, what's your thinking behind that?
Well, you're actually spot on. Actually, what, mate, Alan Archibald, official, he's a really good guy, so I actually never really seen him as the number one.
Did you always think number two, did you?
I did. He was never really... Listen, he could go on to be a manager. I think he'll learn after McCall, but I think he'll be best just to be an assistant. Quite quiet. Right. And I think you've got to have a bit about you to be a manager, Si. He's thumping any paracetamol.
Also, the air manager we're talking about.
What about the duo? What about the Kevin Kyle Paul Sleen duo?
I wouldn't think
that. Would air fans like that?
No, I wouldn't think it worse.
Who do I think?
Who do you think would...
John
would,
Hughes.
I would agree. After speaking to Yogi on Friday, I think...
I'd love to play for Yogi, mate.
I think he's... I've never... I knew he liked football. Because I remember I used to play against Falkirk and they were like, I would say, my bitch team.
Yeah.
You knew when I played Falkirk I was going to score regardless of how I played. There was the big fella, Elvis, what did we call him?
The daddy.
The daddy played at the back with Darren Barr. And I thought, oh, what a two.
You must have flung Darren Barr about.
Oh, I flew Darren Barr about like a... What do you call it? A scud book? I think I scored about 9 goals when he played them 4 times. And then Big Yogi used to come out and say, see my 2 centre-halves? I think I might even take them off next time and I'll play against you. I'd love to play against you. He gets proper... But seeing the fight when I saw him, he's pure...
Oh, he's a unit, mate. He's a unit.
I thought I don't think I'd like to play, but he's very passionate towards football.
My only problem I think Yogi might have is I think Yogi's better suited to managing a team in the Premier League with better players who can actually implement his style of play the way he wants to play. I think when you go down to the Championship again, similar probably to Gary Caldwell, Yogi wants to pass the ball all the time.
I think Yogi wants to be the Scottish Guardiola, but he's not going to be basically the Scottish Ian McCall. If we can do it here,
you've got to
play dirty, you've got to mix up, and that's no how. Although Yogi was a big aggressive centre half, he wants to play the game in the right way. So I'd like to see him get an opportunity because I think he deserves it. He's had a few bits of bad luck with managerial positions and stuff, and that, and he's been trying obviously to get a job. But ultimately, the manager, why not give it to the assistant, Scarley?
He's a bit of thistle, man.
Oh, has he went with McCall? Well, that's a good move for him. So, you know who I would give it to? In fact, I don't even know who I'd give it to. Peter Mark Roberts and Davey White.
Davey White,
man.
What was he meant to be?
Slaney, you're a big advocate for up-and-coming coaches. There must be somebody that... Kevin Thompson, there you go, Rangers. Kevin Thompson, he could take that job.
I think Kevin Thompson, his destiny is something bigger than that.
Wow, okay.
I just think he's a really good coach. He speaks well.
Yeah.
He played the game the right way.
What about this? Sorry, I interrupt you, Kev. Barry Ferguson.
Fergie could be a shout.
Wow.
Why not?
Paul, I was actually thinking...
Would you go back? If Fergie made the
I would go back. I'll tell you why. Because it would be the third time I've worked with Fergie. The first 2 times has been shambolic. So it would be great to go for a third. They always say third time lucky. So Fergie, pick up your phone and we'll do the job together. Me, you and Bob. Bob, you will need to speak this time you're going to the job. You cannot keep mumbling your way through coaching. No, just that. Si, what was I going to say there? I do believe that we should keep it in the family with Ian McCall and give it to wee Danny Lennon, his sister. He should get the job. The day, guys, I've just come in and out of the podcast, mate. As you know, he's really sore. I just need to come in and out, and I can't get it all because my head is
thumping.
Need
to go back to see Jeremy.
He's really struggling. Honestly, I don't know what it is.
I know what it is. He's love struck. After that picture went up on Twitter.
Aye. You don't believe this. I was in a coffee shop the other day and a man walked in and shouted at me. Now, we've spoken about him on the podcast and says, you're a liar. I said, no word to lie, but you're a liar. He went, I never fucking gave you a book, Johnson. He went, I never gave you a fucking book.
Who was it then?
I don't know, I said to him, John, I'm sure it was you. And he's looking at me as if, you're lying, I know you're lying. So, I know we used to go to the car school, so it wasn't him. I do believe it might have been Robert McHugh.
Let's find the chimp lover.
And I believe it's Bob McHugh. Me and Bob McHugh are best mate. I love Big Bob to bits.
I tell you, I love how he's diverted away from the original question.
Aye.
What was the question again? You're pictured. Celebrity couple walking about the West End.
That's the point. Oh, 1v1's all early press.
Right, last few bit, lads. We're going to go on to the FIFA best player. Messi won FIFA Best Player of the Year award. Is it deserved? Of course it's deserved.
Of course it's deserved.
I always said about the Ballon d'Or or the FIFA player that Messi should never be in it, si. He should just have that award for the rest of his life, and then the rest of them can compete for it. Messi is a genius. There'll never be anybody in the same. Listen, see when people say, oh, he's not won the Champions League again. We're not talking about team winning trophies, we're talking about the individuals. It's an individual award, so why are we bawling about the teams? Messi should have won it.
The individual thing, do you feel like your other teammates used to hold you back in it?
I believe they really did.
Was it just no getting you the ball enough?
No giving me the ball, maybe during the game, and they seen my confidence, and they know I've got a pee heart and a pee brain, so... If you say one comment to me, my head goes and the confidence drains at me. So I was in many occasions flying by my player confident, and players in my own team would slaughter me and call me names. They put me down.
What sort of things are we talking?
Pizza face and red nose and Robert the British dad. Listen, as I say, the podcast, I must just keep coming in and out.
You're just dipping in and out.
Just dipping in and out, and I love that wee bit of dipping in and out. And that's what it's all about. I've been brilliant, and life's all about loving stuff.
How is life just now?
Great. I'm really enjoying my life. It's absolutely fantastic. But the only side I'm really worried for the first time in my life, my head. It's really, really struggling. I've never felt headaches like it. A man for 4 months having a headache. People complain after a day. I've had it for 4 months.
There must be a wee psychologist listening in.
A doctor. Can we get a doctor
in? Can we get somebody to message us in and see if they can help this man? Because the nation's like getting a wee bit concerned.
We need you at top form.
Can I go to a club doctor?
Can we get him in a club?
Celtic or Rangers doctors, it'd be great. I'd love to go up to Rangers and see if Gerrard's going to fight me. Do you know what I mean?
It's superb.
Right, okay. Now, I hate this. People saying Virgil van Dijk should be world player of the year. Centre half who heads and kicks the ball. Player of the year.
Shambles.
Come on.
I just think...
Bit of boozer to head it and kick it, man.
Absolutely.
It's because of the impact he's made at Liverpool, signing for the amount of money that he did, and then...
But you're not world player of the year.
But that's what I mean. So, like, Messi's doing this year in, year out. Every other week, Virgil van Dijk's had one good season. He's not had one good season. He's had a great season in Liverpool where they've won the Champions League. But because Virgil van Dijk was centre-half, that wasn't was why, because they won the Champions League. I think the three boys up front scored all the goals.
It's entertainment, isn't
it? It's entertainment. But I think the whole of Merseyside was basically voting for van Dijk to win that. I don't think...
I'm making a Paul Slane play here. Defenders, stop pinking your players. Just pass it to midfielders.
Absolutely.
I'm watching more and more highlights and seeing these teams where they're taking the goal kick and the
about that, mate? Arsenal against Watford.
What is going on?
2-0 up, mate, and they pass the ball to the centre half in the 6-yard box.
Why would you do that?
Jimmy Carragher made a great point. He says you actually... Because of the rules there, you don't need to pass it in the box. Do you know what I mean? You don't need to do that.
Aye, but what ends up happening is, right, see, for every bad one that's happening, and there's been a few, somebody somewhere will go through the archives and pull out the one man's working. One worldie.
Yeah.
It happens hardly ever that you pass out for the back and you end up with the wonder goal. I just think that it's adding to these new philosophies.
Yeah, definitely. Right, awards days. We're going to talk about awards days. I love an awards day. Do you know what we used to do? Awards days. I don't know if this will get kept in, but we used to buy condoms.
Brilliant.
And see if you know who was getting played in the air just before they were going to go up. Lay the condom on his shoulder. So when he's upset to know what he's got a Johnny on his shoulder. One as well. At Pompey, we had a player of the year end of season. Paul Merson was the speaker. What a guy.
Is he a legend?
Best guy in the world.
Is he?
Phone me the next day, phone me. He's like, you ever need any... alright son, what a night. You ever need anything, give me a shout.
Oh, mate, superb.
Absolute
Merson.
Legend, man.
Here's
what
a guy.
Guy
you need to interview then.
But then, stupidly, being at that age, in the summer I went back to Dundee and me and my mates were steaming at like 3 in the morning and kept pranking him, so he blocked my number. Kev, any awards do you remember? Did you go to the big PFA do you
remember? The only one I remember was you go to a lot, but they don't ever, unless something happens at them, you don't really remember them. I used to going to the Scottish writers one.
Owners,
what I liked about the Scottish writers one was you got to meet the writers who abused you through the season.
Did you ever pull them up?
So I get a few drinks and just slaughter them. Shite, can he write? Your columns are hopeless. And I just thought, they were. I just hated them. I just thought it was a place where people wanted to be seen.
Uh-huh.
The only one I can remember was the North East Player of the Year 2004, because I took that trophy home.
Yes!
Aye, Young Player of the Year. Don't know how.
I know you're a good player.
Don't know how.
Believe in
But That was a good one. I was compared to a young Jackie Milburn.
Never heard of him.
Mm.
So any awards days you ever been?
No, actually, see, the awards days, the only one I've ever been to, side. One only, we opened goal and we picked up the podcast.
Oh, so we did. What an awards day. That was the Etihad Arena.
Can I just say, side, I don't think we get enough credit for that, eh?
No, there's not really been much made of that,
is it? In the country, I can't understand that. A country full of losers and we get winners eventually and we don't get praised for it.
We must be
but
the
it
best.
It sums up because they're jealous of winners.
It's not that we must. We are the best podcast in the land, right? And we are yet to be on TV.
That'll come.
It's scary,
that will come. I actually think we really need it now, Friday night.
I think you could be the new Jeremy Beadle. Beadle's about.
Aye.
Something with David Slane.
Aye, that'd be unbelievable. I would love to do the one Keith Lemon does, peeping through the keyhole. That'd be unbelievable.
So there you go, TV producers out there. Can we get Paul Slane on the telly?
Absolutely.
What sort of station? It need to be like an ITV2 or something, isn't it?
I need to be. I'm a wee bit lively. Too much for the BBC. To be fair, I don't know what the hell was going on.
Do you know what? You'd be great. Remember that programme Eurotrash? You'd be good hosting that.
I've never seen that.
Never seen, you were too young.
Mate, you'd be Men in Motors, you should be on that programme.
I just wanted. Remember that I did abroad? Why don't we go go abroad and used to take me abroad and just we do everything, we throw me off stuff. You put me on a thong, you dangle me off a bridge, hold my thong.
Oh, tremendous. Right, lads, once again. It's the highlight of my week.
I can only apologise for the. Hopefully next week there's been a cure. If no, you'll not hear it from me. I need help. I really do.
He's already
help.
Had one injury setback this season. Remember, he had to take a week off.
Oh, so he did.
So this could be like his second injury off the season.
No,
it'll
be fine.
I'll be back. Listen, I'm just doing it for attention. There's nothing wrong with my head.
Anything else, or is that us? Why don't you sing a suit? Come on.
I'm tired and I wanna go to bed.
I had a little drink about an hour ago. It went straight to my head. Dum 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 dum. Oh, wow. Thanks very much.